Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom by Kanda Vav. We're talking about the eighth line of the two dots with the words Bar Shina. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marshmallow Sar Bas Biakam Moshe Hernish. Shama should have an Aliyah. So Rabbi the Mishnah had said the Malakid Adam Atomis of Ima Ben Shesimchi Loi that Ancha might a person allowed to gather the bones of his father and mother because it's Simcha for him. So really, Gemara explains why that is. Bar Shina originally Hayukavin Oysan Mamayros would bury a person in deep pits and that was without a coffin. It would just be left over there. And his Achal Basar then once the flesh decayed Hayu Malakin Atomis they would gather the bones of Kavin Oysan Barazim and then they would bury them in Razim, which is Arazim, it's cedar coffins. Now, if this wasn't Cholamite, it was just a regular day. That day they would mourn because they were transferring the bones, but the next day he was very happy. Learned to say, that his father's, meaning his parent, now has had a little bit of a rest or an ease in their judgment. And that's because as long as a person has flesh on their bones and it hasn't decayed yet, they have very strict judgment upstairs. Once that flesh decays, though, the judgment becomes lessened, and that's why originally they wouldn't bury them in a coffin in order to speed up the process of the flesh decaying. And that's why, as Rameir says in the Mishnah, it is an element of simcha for him because now he knows that there's less of a judgment on his parent, and that's why it's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi argues because at the end of the day, there is avelos. If it wasn't Chol HaMoed, there's actually chiyo avelos for one day. Now, Tanu Biva Brisa, a maver arn makom makom. If a person transfers a coffin from one place to another, ain b'mishum likud atzamos, it's not considered likud atzamos. There are v'acha hadada to amar ba'arn shel even. That's talking about a stone arayin, aval arn shel eitz. But if it's a wooden arayin, yesh b'mishum likud atzamos, that is considered likud atzamos, and that's because stone is like the ground. But what is different and it decays and it rots, so therefore it's more like likud atzamos. Amar Rabbi Yossi told him, "Afilu tam bar shel eitz, even if you want to say wooden arayin, in b'mishum likud atzamos, it's not considered likud atzamos." And for the clarification, "Ezu likud atzamos," what does that mean? Likud atzamos, sumavirin papi karsin mimakal makayim. That's moving the bones in a kerchief or a cloth from one place to another. And v'tani can be read like this: likud atzamos malaket etzem mishasach labasar. The bones are literally gathered up once the flesh decays. Rav Chaim says b'shem Rav Zaira, likud atzamos kishmayon. Likud atzamos is literally as they sound, meaning he's literally physically picking up the bones and moving them, not even in a kerchief. Now, Tanu, we have another din. Ain Shmuel Likud Atzamos. There's no din of Shmuel by Likud Atzamos. That's a person's immediate relative had passed away and they didn't know about it. They only found out later. That's what we're saying, Shmuel. They found out later. They heard afterwards that the person passed away. So then they have a chiva velos. There's different halachas of regarding when they heard, how long they would have to sit in a velos for. What this Bryce is saying is that there's no din of Shmuel for Likud Atzamos. If a person heard that yesterday they moved the bones of his close relative, that's not something you have to sit in a velos for. Now, Rav Chag clarifies, that's only for the next day, meaning if you heard the day after they were malakid atzamos, so then he doesn't have to sit a day in avelos. But if he heard that day, yashmul likid atzamos, and there isn't a shmul likid atzamos, even though he wasn't involved in the likid atzamos, he wasn't the one that moved the bones of his close relative. Since he heard about it on the same day that it was done, he has a chiv to be in avelos for one day. Ask the Gemara of yashir likid atzamos, is there a shear for likid atzamos? Does there have to be a particular amount of bones that's moved? There's no official shear for likud atzamos. Now the Gemara goes back to what we had said about 10 lines up. Rav Acha said the din of likud atzamos does not apply if those bones are in a stone coffin, but yes, if they're in a wood coffin. Or Rabbi Yossi had said that even if they're in a wood coffin, it's not considered likud atzamos. So Gadar of Mana, it's like what happened with Rav Mana, that Harila Rav Hilda Kifra, he paskin from Rav Hilda of Kifra, lekrayelus abel krav Acha, that he should tear his clothing and be misabel, like Rav Acha said, that when bones are moved in an arn shel eitz, it is considered likud atzamos. However, shaloi li tamos krav Yossi, he paskin Rav Yossi, this is not considered likud atzamos in regards to becoming tummy to a mace, namely a kayin, is not to become tummy to his immediate relative if his likud atzamos is being moved in an arn of eight. So take the chumras of both Rav Acha and Rabbi Yossi. More discussion on the likud atzamos. We have a brisa likuti atzamos in our malehen kinim v'nehi. They were doing likud atzamos. We don't say kinim v'nehi. This has to do with eulogies and wailing and crying that women used to do, and also in our malehen loy birchas avelim loy tanchumi avelim when doing likud atzamos. No saying birchas avelim or tanchumi avelim. We just clarify what this is. Elohim birchas avelim. What is birchas avelim? Mashein oymer beis haknesses. This is what they used to say in the shul. And Elohim tanchumi avelim. What's this? Mashein oymer b'shura. This is what they used to say in the shura in the row right when they finished the levaya. And Tanu Yehav Abraisa Aval oymer aleim devarim. Nonetheless, devarim are said. The question is, about devarim? What exactly is this devarim that's being said by likud atzamos? And Rabban Amri they say that kilusin praises are said. Praises are either said about the mace or maybe about Hakadosh Baruch Hu that he's mamus and mechaye. So these things, these kilusin, are said by likud atzamos. Now we continue. The Mishnah said v'loy oyer al mesei. A person's not to be ma'oyer on his mace. He's not to awaken or bring up a discussion regarding a mace. The question is, ezu yirur, what exactly is yirur? The answer is maskir ben hamesim, to mention him among mesim, which means if we had another mace that is allowed to be mentioned on Chol HaMoed, a different mace who is not allowed to be mentioned, this other mace had already been buried previously a while ago, so we're now to be ma'ir, we're now to bring up his memory and mention him as well. Now the Mishnah said v'leis bidenu, no giving haspedim eulogies on Chol HaMoed. Now the question is, ezu hasped, what is hasped? The answer is, shu isolei hasped b'fnei atzmai, that's giving hasped on this person by himself. that are biyashan. This is referring to a person who had passed away a while ago. Aval b'chadash mutter, but if it's a brand new mace, so then it's permitted. Now the question is, ezu chadash ve'ezu yashan. What does that mean? The person's new or he's old? The answer is chadash b'sech shleishim yoyim. New means it was within 30 days. So anyway, a person is still within avelos. There's still a certain element that the person remembers their mace and they're a particular level of avelos. So that person is allowed to be mentioned chol ma'id. Whereas yashan la'achar shleishim yoyim, old is after 30 days, meaning the person had already died more than 30 days prior. It's already an element of shikha, of forgetting that mace had set in. And if a person is now going to bring up that mace's name on Yom Tov, on Chol Moed, that's going to bring up feelings of sadness, which technically are not allowed to be there because it's already past 30 days. And for sure, on Chol Moed, one's allowed to bring that up. Now, if Avon Beis on top, Tani, we have a braisa, Loi Ta'ir Isha Lev Yasa B'Moed, a woman is allowed to be Ma'irer Lev Yasa, her Levaya, which means her husband. She's allowed to bring him up on Chol Moed if he had passed away. And Rav Nachman Rabban Amar, he explains that Lev Yasa, what's this interesting word, Lev Yasa, referring to a husband, like it says in the Pasuk, Hasidim Ayru Lev Yasan, those who will inspire over their companions. So Lev Yasan means their companions, and her companion is her husband. Now another side point, Tani Viva Braisa, Lo Yisa Adam Isha Shiyash Labanim, a person shouldn't marry a woman who had children previously, and that's a Filu Bekever, even if they were already buried, meaning her children had died, he still shouldn't marry her. And Rabbi Yasa explains, why is that? Because of a story that happened, for whatever reason, this woman wanted to get at this new husband of hers, so she went to her deceased child's grave, dug him out, and then blamed her new husband for causing his death. Therefore, a person should have married a woman who already had children. Moving on to Halacha Vav, continuing with more discussions about what's allowed to be done on Chol Moed, says Mishnah, Ein chayfrin kuchen kvaris b'moed, no digging kuchen and kvaris on Chol Moed, aval mechanches ha-kuchen, but one could fix up the kuchen. Now, what's this referring to? So kvaris are easy, that's binyan. That's basically building a burial pot with stone. Now, kuchen is something that we don't really have nowadays. Back in the day, they used to basically dig underground chambers that are called crypts, and then they had separate rooms known as catacombs, and then they would make niches in the wall, which is basically underground, and then they would bury people in there, and that's what a kuch is. So no digging that on Chol Moed, but if they already had it, they're allowed to be mechanech it, which is fix it up. And we're explaining the Gemara what that means to fix it up. As we discussed, the Mishnah says v'aisin nivreches. One's allowed to make a pool for launderers. There's like a shallow pool for water that launderers would soak the clothing in, and also va'aron im hames b'chatzer. One's allowed to make a coffin for a mace if the mace is in that chatzer, and that's because everyone's going to see that the reason why he's working is for the mace. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Iser, Rabbi Yehuda Asher says elim ken yeshim v'nasarim. That's only if he has boards. If he already has boards, so he's allowed to make the coffin. But if he doesn't have the boards, he's allowed to start from scratch making those boards, even if the mace is in the chatzer. Says the Gemara, Ezu chinuch kvaris. What exactly is this chinuch of kvaris? So Rabbi Yossi bar Niroi Omar, he says, Sade besid means plastering the existing hole with plaster. That's finishing it up. Whereas Chizda Omar, he says, Im hay arach mekatzrei. If this hole, the niche that they had dug for the mace, was too long, and now they have somebody to bury in it, and they realize that they dug out too much, so they can shorten it. And Rabbi Shuben Levi Omar, he says, Marach ba mitzad echad, umarach ba mitzad echad. And if it needs either lengthening or widening, they could do that, but they're not allowed to do both. They could either lengthen it or widen it. Now, Tanur B'chia, he teaches us that no, marach ba umarach ba mitzad echad, ba mishneid stadin, it could be lengthened and widened, both on this side and on that side, meaning basically anything needs to be done to fix up this niche in the ground, to be able to put a mace into, not a problem. The mission then said, we clarify Zeha B'kia, and Kol Shu Toshav Nikra B'kia. Anything where the water just stays there, it lies stagnant, it's not meant for channeling water from one place to another, that's called a B'kia. And as we said, it's basically this shallow pool for the launderers. The water just sits in it, and you're not digging this huge hole. It's really just very shallow, and that's why it's permitted Chol Moed. We continue. V'arnim ha-mace b'chatzer. Tana Kama had said, the one's allowed to make the arn, he's allowed to make the coffin if the mace is there in the chatzer. And we clarify, that's only talking about a mace which is not well known. It's a person who died, people don't really know him, so as long as he's in the chatzer and a person's making the coffin there, it's obvious that the person's working in order to make the mace's coffin. Avol meshu mefursam, but this is a well-known mace, oisunli arnafil b'shuk. We're allowed to make a coffin for him, even if it's in the marketplace. Like the following story, kadamach Rav Chananya chavrin d'rabbanon, Rav Chananya, the colleague of the rabbanon, was nifter, avdin lay arn b'shuka. They made him a coffin in the marketplace. The Jesus Christ's machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah had said that if a person doesn't have pre-made boards for a coffin, he's allowed to start making boards from fresh. The Tanakhama says that that's okay. However, says the Gemara, kol maidin shlo yakutz lo yarazim, everyone agrees he's allowed to start chopping down cedar trees from the forest. That's not okay. The Kava saw similarly, lo yachsev lo yavanim, he's also not allowed to start hewing out stones from the mountainside in order to build a kever, which, as we had said, is above ground with stone. Now let's say hoychatzuvais, we already have stones that were hewn, that were cut out of the ground, but they need to be chopped down further into smaller pieces. So that to flog the tribute of Rabbanon to the same machlek as the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, Rabbanon would say no, the Rabbanon would say yes. Moving on to Halacha Zayin, the Mishnah tells us ve'inos and nashim ma'id, no getting married on Chol Moed, loy besulos v'loy almanos, not to a besula, to a woman who's never been married before, or to a widow, also v'loy miyavmin, no doing yibum. That's when we have two brothers, one dies without children, the second brother has has a mitzvah to marry the first brother's wife. That's called Yibum. That's not Rabbi Nachman Amar either. Why is this Menesha Simcha Hilo? Because it's a simcha for him. And we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly that means. Aval, however, Machzer is Gushasai. A person is allowed to remarry the wife whom he divorced. And that's because it's not necessarily as big as a simcha. Furthermore, Va'aisa Isha Tachshita B'Mayid, a woman is allowed to do her Tachshitim on Chol HaMayid. And we're going to see in the Gemara what that means. Whereas Rabbi Hudaber, he says, Isha Loi Tasud, a woman as part of her Tachshitim is not allowed to put on Sid, some sort of cream put on the face to remove the hair and give a shine to the skin. And why is that Menesha Nivul Hula? That's because it does make her a little bit novel when she has the cream on her face. Maybe afterwards it makes her look beautiful, but at that time it's considered a little bit repulsive and not proper, and therefore it's not allowed to be done on Chol HaMayid. Says the Gemara, Einais Anashim HaMayid. So Shem Bar Vav says, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, why is one not allowed to get married on Chol HaMayid? B'Mnei Bittul Pirav Revya. Because of Bittul Pirav Revu. If a person knows that they're allowed to get married on Chol HaMayid, he's not going to get married now because he's going to push it off to Chol HaMayid, either because it's easier, he doesn't have work, also because he could join the Sudas together. Anyway, he has a Suda for Yom Tif, so he could use that as his Chasana Suda, and in the interim, he's not going to be engaged in Pirav Revu, having children and populating the world, which is the first mitzvah in the Torah, and therefore he's not going to get married on Chol HaMayid. Now, Bon Kum Rabbi Yossi, that's in front of Rabbi Yossi, Ha Eved Maushisa Maid. What about an Eved, a non-Jewish slave? Is he allowed to get married on Chol HaMayid? So Amar Lain, he told them, and Ishmael does learn from the following. We have a situation, Misha Chatsi Eved, Chatsi Ben Chayrin. Let's say a person's half Eved, half free. How is that possible? So we have Reuven and Shimon. They own an Eved. They have a partnership in an Eved. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Eved works by Reuven. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday works by Shimon. They have some sort of arrangement. And then one of them frees his ownership of the Eved. That's called half Eved, half Ben Chayrin. And even though originally Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about this, they eventually agree that the one who still has ownership in this Eved has to free him. And that's because this Eved's stuck. He can't marry a Shifcha, a non-Jewish maidservant, because half of him is considered free, and that part of him is a full Yid. However, he can't marry a Jewish woman, because half of him is still an Eved. Now, why is that done? So, Rav Shem Bar Vav, B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, B'nei Bittul Pirav Revya, because that caused a loss of Pirav Revu. Hadam this clearly tells us, Sh'ev Mitzvah or Pirav Revya, that Eved has a Chiyuv of Pirav Revu to populate the world. We see from this whole discussion that if the master would not have freed him, and he's still 100% Eved, then he definitely should get married to a Shifcha and engage in Pirav Revu. And so we see that even for an Eved, this is important. And anyone who's a mitzvah puravu, they have a chiv to populate the world. It's also to get married on Chol HaMayid. Do we have another reason why one's not to get married on Chol HaMayid? Rav Ila quotes Rav Blazer b'shem Rav Chanina al shem she'in ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. That's because we're not allowed to mix one simcha and another. Right now we're holding Chol HaMayid. We're in the middle of Yom Tov, and a person's supposed to be misameach on that Yom Tov with that Yom Tov. He's not supposed to be mixing another simcha of the chasana. Then that's why he can't get married on Chol HaMayid. Rav Blazer shem alam and hada. Rav Blazer learns the source for this from the following pasuk in regards to Chanukah's Beis Hamikdash by Shlomo Melech. What does it tell us? Ki Chanukas HaMizbeach Azu Shivas Yomim V'Chag Shivas Yomim. They did the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the inauguration of Mizbeach, which is really Beis HaMikdash, for 7 days, and then Sukkot for 7 days. In other words, the inauguration of Beis HaMikdash took place 7 days before Sukkot, and then there was another 7 days of Sukkot. Now, why did they have to do that? Why don't they just have the inauguration of Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot? And instead of having 14 days, you have 7 days of celebration. We clearly see from here, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Zayin Amar Alfa on top, we continue, Rav Yaakov Racha Shom Olam Adah. He learns from the following. The pasuk tells us, Ma'alei Shivu Azois, finish this week. What's this referring to? So we know that when Yaakov came to Lavan and he wanted to marry Rachel, he was tricked and he ended up marrying Leah instead. So Yaakov told Lavan, what's going on over here? You promised me Rachel. He said, not a problem, I'll give you Rachel, but Ma'alei Shavu Azois, finish this week, finish the Sheva Brachas, and then I'll let you marry Rachel. The question is, why did he do that? Why didn't he just say, you know what, marry Rachel right now, and then we'll have Sheva Brachas? Must be, in Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, the first he marries Leah and then Rachel. Now we have another answer, Avosim Shem Lazar, Bnei Tairach. That's because of Tairach. Preparing for a chasana is extremely tedious, it takes a lot of work, a lot of preparation, and we're not allowed to do tircha on Chol HaMayid, as we've been learning previously. Even if work is mutter, if it's tircha yaseir, it's aser, so that's how one's allowed to get married on Chol HaMayid. Says the Gemara, Tanuvi v'Braisa, al mischaven hu v'noisei me'erev regel, one is allowed to arrange his schedule and get married erev Yom Tov. And here he's not waiting for Chol HaMayid, he's getting married erev Yom Tov. Vafil Rav Blazer lasi peliga, this is not any problem for Blazer either, who has said that one's allowed to get married on Chol HaMayid because of tircha. That's going to end up being too much work on Chol HaMayid. You might say it's a problem here, even getting married erev Yom Tov, because there's sheva brachas which go into Yom Tov and into Chol HaMayid, so he's going to end up being tireach. And the reason why that's not a problem, as our rabbi explains, is because alas kalasa nafkas terchusa, once the kala goes, the tirchas went. In other words, the main tircha, the main preparation, the main challenge and hardship is preparing for that first day for the chasana itself. But after the chasana, the sheva brachas, that's not considered tircha, and therefore that would be permitted on Chol HaMayid. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss the Mishnah. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.